It's going to be moo time in this motherfucker.
What's going on, my brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, monks, Kabbalists, wizards, mystics.
That's you.
Sons and daughters of God. Welcome.
Welcome
to Mr. Woo Woo.
Welcome, my brothers and sisters, fellow wizards, to the Mr. Woo Woo podcast. Had a little bit of a hiatus last week, but I am feeling the evolutionary symptoms just like you are. And yeah, sometimes you do Kriya yoga one time, and then for 4 days you get chest congestion. And that just opened up the Pandora's box. You never know what you're going to get, just like Forrest would say. But I wish it was more delicious than it was, than this gravelly-ass shit. But anyway, I digress. Thank you very much for joining us today. I have a very special guest on a very special day. You may not have felt it today in the ethers, but someone just leveled up on this fucking planet today, everybody. And I have with me someone that embodies the journey of aspirant, of probationer, of someone that's racing down the rabbit hole with the same kind of joie de vivre and the same kind of urgency that I had, that a couple of my other students have. And I'm happy to welcome to the ranks of Shambhala Multidimensional Healing, Dallas Compton. So thank you, Dallas Compton, for joining us today. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you for coming.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, very like stoked that. To have you
Love
here
that
today.
Intro.
Of course, man.
Path and probation.
Oh yeah, I mean you're starting to get into those drums It's talking about those terms, mm-hmm. and those terms will evolve for you. Like right now, it's like the stage that I see you at is like the term getting and acquiring phase where you're understanding. I don't know, even if you were like learning electricity or something like that, where they're like, what is an ampule? What is a, you know, and you're like trying to understand like the deeper dimensions of those terms. It's different than just the lay person. So
yeah, it really like, is. It's learning nomenclature and really just kind of, you know, connecting that into the different things that you're already dealing with in life, right?
Careful with the cord. The cord will like, it'll make a sound. Yeah, you can hang it around the thing just if you want. That. Yeah, this is an impromptu kind of show. Yeah,
I know, but
awesome, man. Can bring it a little closer like this. I can.
Is that better?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I can hear you.
Okay. This is only the second time.
So absolutely. No, yeah, I know, man. I'm a total amateur at this, and it's an exciting project to try to get better at. I wish I was more consistent and
successful. Yeah, we're all like, oh, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Hey, bro. Yeah. Like, and I have some cool people in the wings that are trying to like get to the show. It's just kind of a weird process being a program manager and like texting people, especially hippies that have metaphysical influences to try to like wrangle them down in between peyote stuffings and, and dancing around on the beach naked to come on the show and be able to explain like mysticism in all its glory.
Well, thank you for having me again, you know, so this will be, you know, I like to be prepared for these too. So you saw me kind of write some notes down.
Of course.
Newly Awakened Part 2, you know.
Yes.
I think the previous podcast, I was, you know, a lot of energy.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time.
One of the most listened to shows that we've ever had.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we had a lot of fun, and it was an hour and 45 just gone just like that.
Just chopping it up about the universe and creation. Now, you just received an attunement to a very, very unique, very rare metaphysical and energetic enhancing system. What are your thoughts on it now that it's been like a few minutes and if it allowed the attunement to kind of settle in?
Well, yeah, just that initial feeling. I could just sit and kind of like look at the ocean or just, you know, be outside and not do anything, think anything or say anything. So there's just that such a resting peace with that, you know, it's a calm, you know, it's a great feeling, especially right now. It's just, especially being in this office, I always feel that initially. And then it just levels up. So I'm trying to get my energy levels a little bit higher so I can, you know, have some energy for the podcast here. But yeah, I feel, you know, I feel very much at peace right now. There's a lot of tranquil feelings. So
marvelous. And I'll use that as a shameless plug intro. Like if you want to come to this office and try out the energy healing of Mr. Woo Woo, look me up at www.loveenergetics.com. I'd love to see you here and be able to play with your energy and help you level up. Because that's really what everything is about right now. I feel like there's a lot of things on the table for 2024 that may or may not manifest. I myself am kind of waiting for 2025 to click in before actually like going forward with a lot of material plane projects. Mm-hmm. But that makes me feel all the more, this, it's not like this year's a wash, but it's more like it's giving me a massive incentive to go within and try to enhance all the imperfections I have, imperfections of habit and character.
Right. And that was going to be my next question. What is
please.
What is it you're focusing on?
For me this year, I am focusing on getting back to basics. Like it's just like, if we're used to dunking, I'm getting ready to just dribble, kind of like Pete Maravich in the middle of a, you know, of a theater. Pistol Pete Maravich right. was,
oh,
you know,
I know
you know Pistol Pete. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying where he's just dribbling the basketball in the Iowa while watching a flick.
My fiance's from LSU, so she's,
she's
and I know
the greatest ball player possibly to ever live. I love Pistol Pete. Yeah. But his commitment to like...
And Clark just passed his points.
What's that?
Yeah. Caitlin Clark, the girl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just passed his college points.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
That was awesome, man.
Yeah, she's like the woman version of a...
Did they have the three-pointer in his day?
I think they did.
Did they
I don't
have a
know. Actually, that's probably debatable.
Because those, 40, those 46 points mean something different when you're not allowed
yeah, his
to...
his story is really interesting.
It's such an interesting story. Pistol Pete Maravich, I grew up like loving his mythos, but it's the ultimate commitment to the fundamentals that I feel like lend to the artistry of any kind of activity you're trying to do, whether it's a sport, dribbling, whatever it is. And for me, I'm getting back to the most basics that I can. Like I'm reading like Conversations with God, first book. Mm. I'm reading Four Agreements again. I'm reading it and getting the nuggets out of there, because to anchor into the deepest state of unconditional love and peace to me is right now more important than picking up the jet fueled extras that can wow the outer reality. It's more about raising my internal vibration and seeking out even the most, what would look like the most irrelevant density in my four body system, and focusing on that like a laser pointer, and just enhancing my own. I focused on the outer creation so much and sending energy to so many things that I'd love to see improve that mm-hmm. I've neglected my own temple, my own self. So I'm getting a little more selfish this year, and I invite everybody to do the same, and to like doing forgiveness rituals, going out into nature as much as possible is what one of my aims. Focusing on elemental balance, focusing on just like the most basic aspects of the spiritual right. path, and completely perfecting those so that when I do launch forward in a couple months' time, or actually a year's time probably, that it will be on a really solid foundation. It'll be like, you know, you want to build like mansions on sand, that sure. old admonition, not that Abu Dhabi ever took credit for that, like took that advice, but... Yeah, that like I want the foundation to be absolutely 100% like harmonious. I want effortless happiness and positivity in my mind and life without me having to work so much for it, because right. I've been focusing yeah. on other stuff. I want that to be a natural wellspring, so I don't have to tend to it.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're, you know, it's the day to day. It's the, you know, how am I waking up? How am I going about this situation? It's very similar to, you know, before being newly awakened, you're really excited. There's so much going on, so much you're learning, so much magic out there, you know, mm-hmm. and you're realizing, man, this world has so
it's
much
Wonderland.
Crazy fun stuff in there. And then, you know, it does start to kind of slow down. You start to use these big, huge concepts into the small details in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at with everything as far as focusing on really two things that we were kind of talking about. And that's really, you know, eliminating the negative, right? How the thought
yes.
patterns work, negative actions, you know, things that I know are not great for me. Also mm-hmm. giving myself grace and not just beating yourself up about it. But, you know, the other thing too is raising your vibration. You know, how am I waking up every day? What are the things that I could do? You know, the meditations, the exercise, the, you know, the yogas, you know, what are all those doing as far as trying to get me to that? And I think right now I'm pretty much feeling normally at like a pretty normal homeostasis where
good.
I don't have all those negative thoughts. I don't have, you know, those critical things that I used to focus on that used to, you know, give me that little rage inside and all those little feelings that
right.
I was used to for so long. And now waking up and having a calm mind and having, you know, it's crazy just kind of being at that state where you're feeling peace, you know, you're feeling bliss and getting into, you know, there's so many different things you have, you know, inner engineering here.
Mm-hmm.
I think first starting out, you do gravitate towards those yogis and
you know, what Sadhguru's.
Yeah, exactly. And Sadhguru's great, you know.
He's a great teacher. If you need a guru, he's amazing.
He's like it for me as far as like right. where I'm focusing a lot of those type of attentions. And just in that book, you know, obviously read it, but breaking it down, these kind of practices will help, I would say, take off the noise so yeah. that you can kind of see the world differently and have, mm-hmm. you know, essentially go on whatever path you want, but take yoga with you or take these engineering, you know, inner engineering tips with you because mm-hmm. it's just going to make your life better. Whatever you want to think, whatever you want to feel, you're going to be able to see the world in just a better way.
That's, and I, when I look at Sadhguru's path and like how he advertises his services, to put it like in a base way, it's, he doesn't necessarily putting on himself to like have to enlighten you, though that is like, he's doing that incrementally. He just wants you to be pleasant. His right. whole thing, boiling it down. That's why I love his teachings. Because good and evil can be very abstract.
He's perfect for this world right now.
For this world right now, he's mm-hmm. marvelous. He wears a watch. He rides a motorcycle.
I know, it's,
he it's, tweets.
It's funny. You know, it's and very entertaining to listen to.
I actually, it's funny you mention that. Like, Twitter is my octagon for practicing how strong I can maintain my neutrality.
I was going to say, if you go those on, are the things I avoid. You know, I won't even do this.
And I mean, I go
thing.
Deep, man. I follow a dude named Illuminati Bot that's just like lets off nothing but occult shit, like the deepest conspiracy shit. Like, and I have to like control my, because like it'll be like, hey, do you know about this? And it's the sigils of all the major companies at Google and Apple, and they're like all satanic symbols from Freemasonry. And you're like, okay, okay. So it's like I put myself in the fire so that if I'm in the world, I don't get thrown off. You know, by either an argument or a debate where someone could like, can like throw out a fact. So I go on Twitter to see the perceptions of the Muggle world and of the awakening world and the way they're sharing information and seeing if I can control the bubbling in my lower abdomen.
Sure. That's
because my
of
ego gets
temptation,
hella
you know?
Fucking like, triggered.
To me, I just avoid all those type of things because.
You know. And it's good at this stage for you to do that.
Right.
After a while. You're going to be like, well, now I have to test myself in the marketplace. I want to see if I can maintain this tranquility. I want to see how strong I am in being able to stay centered and harmonious, regardless of the like it's offensive. Like what, like the,
well, I understand you take that when you're going to any really stressful situation, you know, that could be golf, to be honest with you. You know?
I mean, golf's tame. Like I got my golf demons out. Like that's a test I passed. If we're talking like offense video game, I'm not to the point where someone could slap me in the face and I'd be like, oh, okay. You know, but like Twitter is a slap in the face. Hearing people's perceptions of reality is a slap sure. in the face because the audacity.
And as far as
evil,
social media, they say that's, you know, it's one of the worst as far as
evil, like evil's advertising hits. Right now, oh, as far sure. as like the revelations of what evil has done or what it's currently advertising. Like between that twofold shit covered page, like to be able to maintain your cool, like it's kind of like what you hear Steve Rinella talking about when he's trying to hit a shot and all these variables like start to make him either shake or the breathing's off or his mm-hmm. own heartbeat could throw a shot off or anything. You have to like refine it down to that or you're going to miss the elk. You're going to miss the buck and you're going to hit it and injure it and not kill it. So it's just like hitting your mark and being able to go, okay. And taking in the madness. Not taking it in, but being able to view it neutrally. Even in Harry Potter, Dumbledore reads the Muggle news. He has Muggle newspapers all over his desk because mm-hmm. he wants to stay abreast of like what evil is doing in the world, and he'll catch patterns that no one else will.
Right, and I think it's good for teachers to do that and have, you know, that
type. What of, kind of teachers?
Well, as far as spiritual teachers.
Oh, spiritual teachers, right. Yes.
Because you're, you know.
Well, some need to stay detached so they never even brush up against those elements, and they're maintaining it. I hate to use this word, safe space, but like an isolated field of energy for their students where they are not exposed to the consensus reality.
Like that's the
for me,
safe it's, haven church.
Yeah. I mean, they're staying in those pure realms without having to like know where to put that energy. And they're just radiating out indifferently. I'm looking for targets. I'm like a spiritual sniper. I'm looking for things I could pour my energy to either gotcha. Enhance the knowledge of people sharing that information mm-hmm. or like in the volume of information that gets shared or to send light to something to annihilate it or to bring perfection, the consciousness, the I Am Presence, to that area so it can be neutralized or healed. And that's when you get coincidence, like, oh, wow, like it snowed like the day after or during the Texas fires, you know, that's because people prayed for it, you know, but there's a lot more variables than that, obviously. But I, like, my wife shies away from negative things because she's like, I like the pretty, happy mm-hmm. things. And I'm like, so focus do I, but it's like part of my even personality is to go after imperfect things that are in the world and help to try to disintegrate or dissolve or consume those miscreations that people have empowered with their thought, empowered with their emotion. And I'm sending violet flame there. So there's people that are trying to counter the brothers and sisters' destructive behavior with thought. And it's like a all consuming game, right? So that's what I've been doing.
For normal, you know, somebody, you know, we talked about me personally, but mm-hmm. normally people shouldn't be spending their time, you know, scrolling through dopamine hits, you know, whatever kind of sure. temptations that has yeah. with it.
It has all kinds of different connotations to different people, just right. like advertising does. Some people like just mindlessly go buy the product, and other people just go, oh, that was annoying. Or some people go, oh, that's evil. I'm going to go like set out a lawsuit against this, not spiritually kind of go after those things.
Right. What does that affect if someone is doing that on a daily? Because that's pretty much what we started with.
It can be tiring. Like,
oh, 100%.
But that's my octagon. You know what sure. I mean? Like that's what I'm using to sharpen my character and my mind's ability to withstand those kind of, whether it's tragedy or it's complete misuse of governmental power or whatever the vibration is of imperfection or destruction, to be able to stand in the face of it and maintain your undivided love and attention to peace.
Okay.
So I'm like kind of testing myself, and I fail all the time. And I have to correct myself. I have to heal myself from like letting shit in or being like, what the fuck, you know, like, because there's a lot of that. Bothered
by certain things.
Excuse me. But that's, yeah, you start to develop a boom, 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 like a resonance of offense or it affecting you negatively. So that's my training on a daily basis for the level I'm at and what I'm trying to accomplish right. and get to. But now doing that has brought me all the way back to, okay, instead of kicking and punching reality or negativity, I'm just going to sit inside myself and radiate the most perfect reality I can. And then when that kind of comes up in my purview, then I'll do it. But what's more important right now is paying attention to my body's own purities, purifying my mind and emotions and learning to control that with absolute precision. And then that will give way to a more cohesive, an easier to access law of attraction that favors me without having to consciously do stuff about it all the time.
And what are your daily practices for those types of things? Because I know where I'm at, it's very simple steps as far as you know, my initial, you know, newly awakened, but, you know, starting to learn more, you know, starting the day with a high vibration, even though if it does start low, you know, I think this is one of the sessions we had as far as how am I raising my vibration. I can do the daily practices as far as, yes, I can meditate, I can do yoga, I can exercise, I can, you know, get outside, I can do all those types of things. But that's kind of where I'm trying to kind of refine what my daily practices are. And I think I've had some success as far as trying different things and seeing what works for me. But yeah, I always want to know what does Josh do on a daily?
It's different from day to day. Some days I want to watch like inspirational videos. So I watch like Sadhguru or Rupert Spira or Muji.
And are you going with more feeling with that as far as what you think you need that day?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like you'd be like, I want to wear these clothes versus these clothes.
Okay.
And, or I want to eat that versus I want to eat that.
You know, we brush our teeth every day. What are the spiritual yeah. practices that you're doing that are,
I'm trying to bring spirituality to every, and this is the Hindu philosophy, or this is the yogic philosophy of bringing spiritual consciousness into your mundane
right.
daily rituals. Right.
And I think that's what we're talking about here.
When you're brushing your hair, you're brushing out the negativity from your mind sure. as opposed to your hair or, right. you're in the shower. I'm accepting a waterfall of blessings and light. Mm-hmm. I imagine light coming out of the faucet and hitting me. I think of specific rays I want coming out of that I'm now transposing onto the water so it benefits me. There's all kinds of spiritual practices.
Well, I think a lot of us wake up with stresses.
Yeah, I mean, the Buddhist philosophy of you wake up with stresses, but those are all mental stresses.
Right.
So.
And mentally, what kind of exercise would you
do? I just go with the Buddhist philosophy of you enhance the positive thoughts when they come And when the negative thoughts, be aware that there's a negative thought there and do something about it. Either transmute it, reframe it, reimagine it, that thing, if you can catch it in time before it becomes a long chain of negative thoughts.
Right.
Because it'll just magnetically.
That's like, what I noticed I used to do. I used to think about a situation and think, oh, this is the negative aspect. And
flashes
then this is
into
what
the next thing.
Say,
flashes
then,
into the
yeah.
next thing.
And I'm
exactly.
like, whoa, cut, cut, cut. This, I don't need to think all this down this road. I'm really good at thinking about conflict situations, right?
Yeah, and what would I do if that guy punches me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I'm trying to think, all right, well, how good is my imagination the other way, the opposite way? Because I've been working so hard on this other
disaster.
Thing over here. Yeah,
my
exactly.
mind works the exact same way.
It's like, man, why
it's
am
always
I so
going
good
over
at
scenarios over like, what would I do in negative scenarios?
Yeah. Now I don't even go down. I allow myself to go down that road, you know, changing those mindsets.
You just answer the question.
Yeah.
That's you just basically do that. But you've already picked it up. That's what I mean.
That's what both therapy sessions are, right? Just
answering
your own questions, you know?
In a way, yeah, because, I mean, it's the self. It's always the self and the mind, right? So the mind is just distracted, like talking to itself most of the time.
Right.
So if you could direct
that mind, you know, just literally, like, I don't want to think anything. What Tagaru said, most thoughts are trash anyways, you know?
Right. He's not thinking a lot because if he thinks something, it's going to be a big thought.
Right.
It's going to affect a lot of things.
Us getting to a point where we don't have that constant going.
He calls it diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. I think we said that on the last one, too.
Oh, we did? I can't remember, man. Yeah. And it's like that's the point is like if you can like look at your thoughts and they don't smell or make you feel like you're diarrheaing, then keep thinking that thought. If it's shit, then you just wipe and move away, you know, like that's
but
it.
I think initially what we started with is that we're taking these larger concepts and everything is getting to the detail of your day, to the detail of the situations you're in, the moments, the feelings that you have throughout
it just takes self-awareness because you'll be lost in thought when a thing happens a lot of times. And now you're going to be thinking about a reaction to that thing because you were lost in thought already. So thought just goes, oh, now how do I react to this? As opposed to just being self-aware, like, oh, okay, that guy's having an issue right now. Or that gal is having a breakdown over there. As opposed to, like, getting caught up in drama. Like, if you notice drama's the, like, your soul doesn't feed on it at all. Only your ego does. So if it sounds anything like drama, even mentally entertaining it over and over again, however many thoughts you want to put toward drama, unless you want to just imagine the cessation of that drama, that would be the useful use of your mind with that kind of stimulus in your space. So it's like what you're doing with your mind in a given instant is the whole spiritual path.
Right. Well, path to the middle is not, passion is not really looked at as like a positive thing.
It's fuel, but now you're talking fuel for one thing or the other. You want to fuel your diarrhea or you want to feel, or do you want to fuel like a good meal? Like it could be one or the other. It could be nurturing or not. So like your emotion is the fuel behind the thought that's being created. So you could have a lot of negative thoughts, but if there's no fuel, if there's no like motion behind it, it's not going to have it.
Yeah.
It's not going
to
have it.
You get addicted to that feeling, right? And that's also that poor agreement that
the parasite, brain can.
That parasite we talked about as far as that feeding.
The mitote. Yeah, the shamanic mitote. That's their word for ego. Basically, all your impressions, all of your opinions, thoughts, and it talks to itself.
Right.
And we think that's what we are.
And so overall, this process really is breaking ego down. It's just another initial start of that breaking down of the ego.
It's the suicide of the ego in installments.
Right.
It's not your suicide. It's your lower minds. What I'm saying is it doesn't mean you won't have a mind. You just won't have an intellect as it's recognized in our culture today. It would be like the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly. The caterpillar has to die for the butterfly to emerge. So just because you're letting go of a smaller identity doesn't mean that you're going to completely be non-existent. You're just going to, it's going to morph. The mind is going to transmute itself into something more useful, like
a
butterfly.
I think that we're all here because we're unsatisfied about one thing or the other. You know, there's things that we're unsatisfied about. And so we're looking for.
What do you mean here?
Well, I'm just saying like being
like
here.
on the planet.
Yeah.
You think that the soul is on the planet because it's not
for something. Right?
You know, that's accurate. And I think in a specific dimension. Yeah. Because say in your past life, you didn't get to shag the gal that you wanted to, or you lost the gal
or your kid lost that
you're like, now I'm still tied to the earth. Cause I had that unfulfilled desire as opposed to enlightenment, which when they tell you like you won't be reborn again, that's because it's the end of all your desires. When you're truly enlightened, you're not going to be like, damn, I still need to go fuck that chick. I still need to go have that one experience of like, yeah, over there. I still need to have this earthly thing. No, your spirit has your the complete attention of your consciousness. There will be no desire to, I'm going to crack that open and have a Coca-Cola now. You know, you would be able to be completely aware of what the Coca-Cola would do to your consciousness in just one drink or one cigarette puff or any kind of energetic object that will take you out of that alignment. So that's why they don't eat meat. That's why they don't smoke cigarettes. That's why they don't do drugs of any kind other than to demonstrate that they're above poison. They would consider all of those poisons compared to the level of consciousness that they've the new plateau they've come down. They have no desire to repel. They know if they have that Coke, if they have that meat, if they have that sex, it will repel them down from this from the plateau that they've accomplished. And that plateau feels so fucking good.
Right.
That there's nothing that I just described that even comes even close. Those would all look like poisons
right.
to those realized beings. And having gotten just a couple snippets of that, I was just like, oh, I get it. It'd be like if you ever had spiritual sex versus just smashing.
Yeah.
You're like, there's a huge dimensional difference.
Well, as far as the former, I don't know what that's, you know. I don't know what that's like.
That's what I mean. But when you get that taste, it's just like when you came here with a bad low back and you got like a taste of energy and you're like, whoa, this is a totally new paradigm. There's a whole new thing that I wasn't exposed to before that draws you in to explore.
Well, I think that's where I'm getting with the being unsatisfied, right? There's something we are searching for spiritually or some kind of connection wise. Right?
Yeah.
And there's a ton of different pathways that we take forward or a ton of different things that we do to try to get those feelings and get those energies.
Oh, we try it in the world first. You know, maybe I can get it with chicks. Maybe I can get it with drugs. Maybe I can get it with a flavor of food. Maybe I'll go to a place. And once you realize there's nothing in the outer that's going to meet that satisfaction, and that it only creates compulsions.
Right. Because it doesn't satisfy.
It doesn't.
It just, you keep wanting, you never get there. You never get to what you're actually looking for.
The fact you know that now in your 30s, I meet people and they're waking up in their 60s and 70s and go, oh my God, you're so lucky to know that it isn't even in the family experience.
Because having a family won't do it. It's not going to get you what you want.
Nope. It's not going to satisfy you. Because again, if you're looking for your satisfaction to be derived by someone outside of themselves and the parents fall into this trap, if my kid doesn't act a specific way or doesn't, then now I am not well. That's what I mean. They're trying to find their fulfillment and satisfaction on something that's based on something outside of them that's impermanent, like a human life.
Right. But unless you have somebody that's close to you or you have some type of spiritual experience, mm-hmm. you're not going to know that there's actually a ton of other stuff out there.
It comes to you when it's supposed to come to you. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. If like some people live many lifetimes and they're not inclined to follow the path, they're just supposed to be like insect scientists or like, and that's where they put all their interest and focus, or like blue jeans. And they're like, oh, it's the blue jeans trade. And blue jeans are what like are their version of God. And they're trying to find some kind of fulfillment in a specific game surrounding an object or an activity in outer reality, as opposed to the stage we've reached where we realize, no, it's the inner life. It's the inner imagination and it's the inner sensations and inner knowledge that has the doorway to peace, well-being, love, mm-hmm. all those things being permanently anchored.
We want to be peaceful. You know, Sadhguru talks about, he's like, I'm high all the time. It's like,
yeah.
Who doesn't want to be that way? We can all lie and say we don't, but we...
Ecstasy.
Yeah, we want to have that state of consciousness.
Bliss. And yes. I mean, and you wouldn't bliss want it unless peace. You've had little snippets of
right.
it. You've been happy before. Like, you've been your absolute happiness where you're mm-hmm. like, fuck yeah, life is rips, you know? It's just we didn't extend that note over the course of our whole life. It was just an instance, is a reaction to an instant that happened, and then we're like, yeah, and we tasted it, and then it faded away. That's what gets you to go for the path. That's why they call it a seeker.
Right.
Be looking for snitches. That's what I mean. We call it a seeker because you're a seeker because you're like, I know that's a real thing. My home base is in the more material realm. And so it seems like everybody else, but that's why people get called to the Himalayas. They get called away from society. So that it's just them and their mind. They don't get any distractions. The mind doesn't get the input.
Right.
Well, and they're trying to reprogram that mind.
And especially initially starting this, you think you're going to have all these crazy, you know, lightning rod experiences. And it's gradually over time, you have this knowing And you do end up having, you know, some spiritual experiences at times and energies you can't explain. And you're just like, I remember literally, it was a thing I was telling you last week. I was doing the that chant. What is that chant? How do you actually say it?
He has a couple with Swarupa, like Brahma.
Yeah.
Brahmananda Swarupa, I think, is one of them. Yeah.
So listening to that, for some reason they do it at like 6:20 every night. Mm-hmm. And so me and my fiance will put that on.
That's
and
cool.
the energy that I got from that was intense. And it was like a snake energy. And I was just bobbing back and forth and I could feel all of it. I was like literally thinking in my mind, like, this is so awesome. This is like, I can't remember the last time I thought that, like, I'm having such the best time, probably like at a concert, maybe in my, you know, at some point in time.
Sure.
But just being in that, like, this is fucking awesome right now. Like,
yeah,
those type of situations. And you're like, I don't really know exactly what caused that time for it to be, have so much energy. Or sometimes I use Reiki and I'll send Reiki and I'll have huge amounts of energy. And it'll just be like, where does that come from? And just having those experiences, those are those little tastes that you get along the way. But it's not like it's going to happen every single day for you.
No, it's not.
There's just like a knowing and almost a wisdom that you have from those.
And I feel there's a threshold where you are in ecstasy and bliss all the time. It's just there's lots and lots of aspects to the mind that have to unwind or dissolve or be disidentified with before that natural, it's like a trickle of like honey. It's like really slow and really quiet, and anything can disturb it. So to be able to be still enough.
But I think that there are certain things as far as concepts go, like there's maybe 100 things I want to stop.
Yeah.
But there are spiritual practices that will have a domino effect that will affect so many of those negative aspects.
That's true. Without having to directly address them.
Right. Like, hey, I don't want to smoke anymore. I don't want to drink anymore. There's certain things that you can do to kind of eliminate many things at one time.
Just changing your breathing pattern.
Correct. Yeah.
Breathing deep versus shallow.
Anxiety.
Will change your mind.
Anxiety is normally brought on by ourselves, right? Our own thought process.
Generally, yes. But like a lot of times, that's just.
But I've eliminated 99.9%
stuff from childhood a lot of times.
Sure.
For anxiety specifically. A lot of times, and like, so irrational fears and worry
for anxiety that had trauma in the past. Yeah,
I do. Absolutely. I usually go like, well, what happened? And you're like, it's like doing this job as a minister. It's a lot like being a psychologist in a way. You can take away I had to do a lot of psychological reading and training just to understand the dynamics and dimensions of mind. So if you're looking to get deeper into that, I'd recommend an app on the Apple Store called Self-Help Classics. There's a lot of great material from the science of mind with Ernest Holmes to Florence Shin's work, James Allen's work, the Master Key System with Charles Hanel. All of these are talking about
some of those early 20th century
early 1920s kind of books where they were exploring and understanding that consciousness and mind creates all aspects of reality.
Well, that's the Neville Goddards. That's the
Neville was in the 50s, but yeah.
Thinking, Grow Rich. Okay.
Yeah. And we're talking Earl Nightingale, and these are all a lot of famous Buckminster Fuller. These are all like law of attraction teachers, especially for manifestation.
Which but everybody's interested into. And
everyone wants
stuff. And I think manifestation, prayers, you know,
everyone
when we
wants
pray
stuff.
And manifest at a low vibration, like, we can't really expect positive things to happen, right? Do you agree with this statement as far as if I'm praying or if I'm trying to manifest something, you've already kind of taught me through, hey, envision it already happening.
Depends on how you pray.
In that excitement. But if I am pleased, you know, let's just say I'm praying and it's very low vibes, it's like, please, he could possibly, there's no command of those type of prayers.
Yeah, right? It's not a supplication
thing. You're not commanding your reality with that.
No, when you're saying please, you're acknowledging it's not so.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's the caveat a lot of things
are. Wrong or they're asking in a wrong way?
They're affirming their lack
of
the thing being manifest.
Right. So if we're
saying,
manifesting,
I want money, be like, okay, then you want for money. That means you're short of it.
Well, basically, what you're supposed
what you have
to
say
doing
is thank you for my millions.
Yeah, I
thank
already
you
have
for
it.
My.
I'm stoked about it, and I'm relieved I don't have
people
to worry.
People just
about
don't
money
know how to get excited and happy and stoked over a miracle that or a manifestation that
you
hasn't happened yet.
The two
and that's
things,
important.
Though, yeah, just like what you just said, and visualization. People are not very good at that. I know I'm not very good at those types of things.
It's just picturing stuff, and I used to be good at it, and like now I'm not as much. Like, I'm trying to rebuild that muscle. Everything is like spiritual muscles
because you've had a focus.
I go into other
else
things. Yeah, yeah, I've gone to other. I'm visualizing masters, not like my ultimate material plane existence. But I can tell you, I've seen immediate, like within a week, like results, like how Neville talked, but he prays in a very specific way. His would look like this. I would sit in a quiet chair, not surrounded by anyone. And I close my eyes and I'm imagining either if it's for someone else, imagining like that their greatest thing happened or your greatest thing happened, and having to generate the, not even just excitement, but the overwhelming gratitude. What feelings would you feel were it to be true? If I had Game 7 tickets to the World Series, like you have to manifest that. Or the NBA Finals. You have to, like, if you were smart about that manifestation, you would look at an inside diagram of the stadium it's being held in. Right. So you would be able to visually look around left to right and know where the paint is, where the banners are hung, so that when you actually do it, you'll look and you'll see the banners.
I think this is one of the first questions I asked you. And you're like, I want you to envision you're there, the temperature, somebody's like, sweaty arm musty? Sitting next to you.
Yeah, is there a guy leaning into you on the thing? Yeah.
Do you see Shaq? Are you waving to Denzel?
Do you smell like the nacho
popcorn,
cheese?
Yeah, whatever. Do you have a beer in your hand?
Do you see the excitement? Can you feel stickiness under your shoes as you're walking because someone spilled their beer or Coke there?
And before and you being know able it, you're to bring already those details, visualizing those things. And you're like,
each one of those details is creating a tapestry of a greater degree of realness. Mm-hmm. Now, the hardest part, or you'd say the most challenging part,
is the emotion from it.
Is what emotions would you feel? Not just emotions, the sensation.
How do you manufacture excitement?
Are you sitting? What kind of seats are there? They bend down or they sit down? So you have to give yourself, you're sitting in the seat, you're like, and you're totally stoked to sit there. But as soon as he has that vision, he knows what it is. This is what he, like his, like this is what I did to manifest that thing. I would have that manifestation. For me, it was like, I'm not going to say specifically what it was, but it's manifesting an object. And I was just
like, okay.
You're
supposed to not tell people,
it's,
right?
Yeah, you keep it to yourself. Yeah. You keep it to yourself, right? But once I imagined being in the scene, being in the scenario, feeling, you know, like wood underneath my hands or feeling that, and I was like, okay, and I could smell an ocean breeze. Okay, good. And like once I had those sensations, then he says he starts breathing in a very particular breathing pattern.
And you do this
while visualizing that you're having the thing, you're interacting with it. You're there. You're physically there. You're on the ship. You're on the thing. And you bring yourself to a zenith. You don't hyperventilate, but you get kind of, he equates it to
excitement.
The other kind of excitement that would put you in that breathing pattern. Mm-hmm. Now, when you reach a climax, And I'm telling you, I repeat this breathing pattern over and over. I will start to feel
it
within several minutes. Okay. I can feel blood and power rushing to the palms of my hands and the feet, and they start to vibrate, much as it happens. And this is a little personal when tantric loving is happening, where you're having a full body orgasm, not just down below, but you could feel energy rushing out of your hands to the point where they're vibrating. You could feel like a rushing happening to your hands and feet, and you could feel it coming up in the top of your crown. And once you've reached a certain, then you let everything go. You return to your normal consciousness, and that's like you let it out into the universe.
Gotcha.
And I know a lot of you know what I mean by that. Letting it out on top of her, on a doo-doo's, on a whatever. but that climax happens, you'll feel, because there will be an overwhelming like electrical charge that goes through the whole body like a boom.
Felt this multiple times, obviously.
Like as I've done this breathing technique, right. Okay. I could feel it in the palms of my hands starting to like almost like blood is rushing to the palms of my hands, blood is rushing to the soles of my feet, and then it's rushing up. And so I could feel my face vibrating. That's what I mean by tantric orgasm. For anyone who's listening that's ever had one, you know, your whole body buzzes. Right. Like you're in like a footsie wootsie. Like your whole body's like going, you know, those things at the zoo where you put your feet on it, goes, and you get off and you're like, oh shit, my feet are tingling. That's what a lot of different parts of your body will feel like. But then you'll feel that final, and your body will get that wash, that tingle wash that goes over your whole body, and that's you sending it out to the universe. Past that, there's nothing to be done. It's just like he mentions, he uses pregnancy as a lot of these metaphors for how to impregnate the universe with your ideas. Oh. And then there's a specific conception time, just right. like there will be for a human fetus.
Where it comes back
there will
to
be
you.
For an elephant fetus, or there is for a thought form slash experience.
So just know that there's going to be some time taken for this.
Yes. And depending on the thing in relationship to your soul path, it could happen the next day.
Now,
it can happen a week from then. It could happen 3 weeks from then or months. But he does that once a day. Like right. we'll say
for
like
one situation until yes, it happens.
You're getting some magical shit right now, you guys. So these are insights of my own experimentation of based off of just his lectures. Right. And he mentions like when he wanted to come home, he was enlisted in World War II and he wanted to come home. He was no, he was just enlisted for World War II. Like he was drafted.
Or he was on some island or something like that, right?
That's a different story.
Oh, okay.
We're talking his initial use of this power.
Oh.
When his mystic friend Abdullah taught him about law of attraction, mind, and all that stuff. He gets drafted into the army. Neville Goddard, who sounds like this, is a diaper dandy, and he's now in the army. Well, the thing is, his superiors loved him so much, because obviously he's a spiritual master, and they could just feel that off of him, but they were like, we don't want you to leave. And he's like, nope, I'm putting in for my discharge. And they were like, well, that's not going to happen. We're in the middle of a fucking war, and you got drafted, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, yes, it will. I will be home. I will go home. Despite any and all odds. And at this time, it was impossible to be discharged from the army. It's current. He's a smart man. He's in a particular unit. And his colonel didn't want him to go. And he said, when I went to sleep at night, I did that breathing technique. As I'm falling asleep, I imagined I was sleeping in my bed in New York City. I could hear the traffic in my mind. I could hear that. I could smell like when the breeze comes through. There was no breeze in his barracks. He's like, I could feel a breeze that came through that smelled like a specific smell. I know what the ambiance of my bedroom looked like. And I imagined every night I went to sleep that I was falling asleep in my bed. And he's like, and I did that breathing technique. Now, it didn't happen to him for like a month. A month and a half goes by, and his colonel, and here's the evidence of things not seen, calls him in the office again and asks him again, would you like to be discharged? I don't want you to be discharged. I want you to stay because I think you could be great in the military. I think he's like, I want out now. That's my vote. And that's what I'm going to keep sticking to. So blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to be, because in my mind, I was already back in New York. He's like, I'm already back in New York, even though visually he's looking at barracks and doing military activity. Mm-hmm. His sergeant goes, well, I can't, I can't accept that right now. But, you know, so he's basically trying to talk him to stay in the army. 2 weeks after that, he brings him in and says, look, do you want out of the army? And he says, yes. And he said, okay, I'll sign your discharge papers. No dishonorable discharge. You're one of the few men of your fighting age that's going to be able to go back to your apartment in New York. And he ended up sleeping in his bed 3 days later.
Wow.
He actually got to like, okay, now I'm physically experiencing it. So he had to visualize and do that technique for 6 weeks. And I don't know if it took longer because of where Earth was in its evolution then. There's a lot of variables. But he visualized that over and over and over again. He was married to a woman he wasn't.
Specifically before bed.
Yeah, right before bed, he says, is the most powerful time because what you take with you into sleep, your subconscious mind will work on for 8 hours straight. Yeah. So he would always do it right before bed. He would do it during the daytime too. Like if he had like a moment to like kind of like charge it up, really feel it, experience. You have to imagine you're physically there, almost like you're in an alternate dimension in doing and feeling in the sensations.
Well, it sounds
of those
like he
things.
Has really strong visualization skills.
He does.
But I think the feeling of just maybe comfort or maybe just the, you know,
he,
I'm already
his
here.
Comfort. He would smell his sheets. He's right. Like, I know what my sheets felt like. I know what my comforter felt like.
But
I know
it doesn't
what my
sound
like
we have to get ourselves at this emotional state where it's so high.
You don't have to get it's not so much an emotional state, it's an energetic state. It's a high excited state while you're visualizing the end result of your manifestation. He was married to a woman he wasn't supposed to be married to, and he met the love of his life on the street in New York. And in those days, you couldn't even get a divorce in New York legally unless some shit went down, right? So they would be like, he'd be like, I'd like to divorce my wife so I can marry this lady. And they'd be like, no, you're not allowed. So what did he do? He's like, no, I imagine that woman waking up to me every fucking night. And he kept happening over and over again. And the woman he was married to, it ended up that she ended up doing something. He'd said unsavory, but it usually means cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to manifest the grounds and was married to the love of his life a week later.
Wow.
and then ended up having 5 children with her, and it was like married to her for 40 to 50 years. That was the love of his life. He's like, I was inconsolable. There was times he was stranded on that island, like you said, and I have no way to get off this island. Because that's where his family lived.
It was supposed to be like a month and a half or something like that.
Yeah, at least a month and a half. And he had to come back. He had to come back within 3 days. And he said, I have to be on this cruise ship.
Well, I think when he was talking about that, he puts himself into a meditative state that almost is similar to like if I fell asleep or if I was taking a nap that day.
As tuned into like his exact methods, because he would take like people on inner journeys, and like there was like deeper and deeper aspects, but the way he describes it,
more detail.
His family, who knew he could do this stuff, was still like, "You idiot! Now you got stranded here for like, why'd you come here and not get a return ticket? Now we're screwed, and you're screwed." And he's like, "No, I'm going to be on that ship liner. Oh, the one that's completely full. Yes." And of course, he's like, "What I did every night before bed, I imagined walking up the gangplank, feeling it rocking under my feet, turning to my left and putting my hand on the railing." And looking back to the shore where everybody was waving and saying, goodbye, everybody, because it was a large ship that was going back to New York. Mm-hmm. And he 2 days, he could feel himself on this ship. He could smell the sea air, all these things. Mm-hmm. He brought details into that experience. Then 2 days before it was supposed to go, they contact him and said, oh, this impossible thing happened. So-and-so dropped out. Would you like their ticket and their suite? So he ended up with a suite on top of it all. And he was just like, yes, I will. And they were like, how did you do that? This is how he lives his entire life. This is how mystics live their whole entire life. Like now, you don't always have to paint yourself into corners and then try to imagine yourself back out of them. You can simply manifest what you want to manifest. And when I did that exact breathing technique, and I was like, I really want this, and there's absolutely no logical way I can make it happen. Like a week later, I had access to like $50,000 that I didn't have before. Just came to me.
Whoa.
And then I realized, and then I had the ability to go forward with that vision if I really wanted to.
Wow.
And I was like, holy fuck. And that's the only time I really did that technique, like breathing just like that. Like I wanted something so bad. And I was like, I'm going to try it the exact way that Neville did. Cause otherwise I just, you know, I visualize it, you know, but I don't sit down and like come it into existence. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like you have to explode it, because he said it's almost like the act of conception, which is a really, you know, debonair way of saying sex, mm-hmm. right? You're using your sexual psychic energy to manifest and fuel. That's the emotion part, without it being like love, hate, that kind of thing. It's just raw vital energy that you're adding to your visual, like the end result, not even the process, just you have accomplished the thing. And what, if you had accomplished the thing, what actions would you take? What would signify that you got that thing? Would you look down?
What would you do?
You got game 7 tickets. You'd have to be able to look down at your hand and it says the 2 teams, game 7, here's your seats. Would be one. You could look at the tickets.
If you didn't manifest money, it would be like, what am I going to do with that money? I'm going to spend it on X, Y.
Not even that.
No.
He would say, when you're going to bed at night, imagine you got hundreds and you're counting them out cash with you know what your hands look like.
Right.
So you close your eyes and you could still see your hands, like your virtual hands. You're using those hands to count out piles of hundreds. Mm. And that's what Elmer Lockyer Jr.'s granddad, who was his student, he's another law of attraction, like Neville Goddard teacher. Okay. His grandfather was actually a direct student who was held skeptical of Neville Goddard, who manifested millions and millions of dollars using these exact techniques. He's like, yeah, I had $3 million, which is like $30 million a day. He's like, I just count money, $100,000 cash in my mind as I'm falling asleep. You know what money feels like. Sure. You know what it smells like.
Right.
This has a particular smell. It has a particular mm-hmm. feeling. And you got to know what it looks like. You know, you have to study a $100 bill is one of the techniques he did. And he would just count money as he was falling asleep. And success came to him and came to him. He's like, oh, I can manifest more if I wanted to. But you got to take actions in order to make it happen.
Sure.
Spirit will lead you to the person that will have you having that experience. Just like Neville thought that thing, the ticket master for the ship was the guy to go, oh, his subconscious mind was the one that got activated, and that's who contacted Neville. So it will happen through actions, and other human beings will bring it to you. Mm. It's not like it's just going to vanish out of thin air.
Yeah, you're like, how does
that's really next level shit. Only avatars can really do that, but it will be a human being's subconscious mind that fulfills that action, fulfills that environment, fulfills
so
you're that object.
You're asking for that situation to happen in your life.
And so, yes. Okay. And you have to possess the thing. You can't imagine them even giving it to you. Imagine you already have it and are enjoying it. You don't be like, God, I really wish I had a PlayStation. You imagine you have the controller in your hand. It's linked up to your TV and you're visualizing the thing playing. Kids are great at this. Even if their parents are poor, they're like, I want a red bike. And I go, okay. You know, I can't afford a red bike. Kids like, no, I see me riding a red bike. I'm going to ride a red bike. And they're just like, all right. Not knowing dad did doubled overtime. Mom is picking up extra job. Like it activates their subconscious mind to fulfill actions and make efforts so that that kid ends up with that red bike. He doesn't know how it got to him. Doesn't understand about the overtime. Doesn't understand the other variables. He just knows I'm attracting a red bike to me. And that is what spurs people's subconscious minds into action to fulfill that thing. So that's kind of how the whole law of attraction works. But if you want to, the visualization piece, you just have to improve imagining every day. Yeah. Like that's what I'm working on right now.
Just like anything else, it's practice, right? You're taking the time.
I'm imagining some wild shit. I'm imagining myself doing some wild, impossible shit.
Anything you can right now tell us about?
Nah, okay. Maybe after 2020, if 2025 hits old Woo Woo, if he's still around, he'll explain what he was visualizing and how crazy it was. But my ambitions go way beyond like owning a Tesla or owning multiple properties up here, which is, you know, it's like a consolation prize.
Right. Well, I think most people just, you know, they want to get through the day. They want to pay their bills. They want to, you know.
I'm already past that. Everything's going my way, guys. That's the great thing about the spiritual path. It just goes your way.
Well, like, woke doesn't mean broke, right? So,
if you go woke, you do go broke. I'm awakened. There's a huge difference. Okay. So spiritually, yeah. If you're woke, you're gonna be broke. Don't worry about that. That phrase.
So
is
Neville
real.
Goddard really kind of brings me into kind of that second question.
Sure.
Very interesting that he is a Christian mystic.
Yes.
Which I don't hear about really. On, you know, anybody right now, I don't hear about any Christians.
Christians have been mollified since the whole, like, we've been raping kids for ages kind of thing has kind of gone through.
Yeah, and I also...
Christianity's taken a big step back.
You know, there's a lot of conflicts that I do seem to have as far as religion. There's a lot of family that I have that have Christian backgrounds. You know, I have a lot of family from the South.
Fundamentalists is different.
I have a twin brother that's, you know, very much Christian.
Sure.
And, you know...
Yeah.
And has all his own beliefs, you know.
Of course. And it'll be done unto you as you believe. Our belief system is a totally different structure than his belief system about Christ, about Jesus.
But what do you say when their basics are like, hey, there's one way to salvation and that has to be through Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you know.
That's the easiest way. I mean, he's an open door which no man can shut.
So it's just another
There's just a lot of other negative aspects of that path that you have to kind of. Murk your way through with a cloak of love so it doesn't affect you. All the judgment,
right.
All of the condemnation, like those are the things that are baked into the religion of Christianity that it's hard for people to disassociate from and not realize that's not love.
Right.
That's what a bunch of
if it's fear prophets based, wrote. You know, and
all judgment is.
Correct.
And all condemnation is like, oh, you're going to go to hell or you're not going to go to hell.
Yeah.
It has nothing
that's
to
the
do.
Basis. Like if you don't,
Jesus was a bhakti yogi.
You'll go to hell.
That people don't.
That's all we all grew up.
That's what I mean. The Bible will, and I couldn't understand any of it until I read Neville Goddard's work. And I was like, oh shit, this is kind of okay. This is like making a lot more sense now because it's more metaphorical and like, because
this is, as Western society, this is what we've grown up with. These are the stories we were told to as a kid and concepts that we grow
up. I was told Santa
with.
Claus is real.
Yeah.
God is basically Santa Claus minus soul, like living in the North Pole thing. God is that sweet. God is that awesome. He won't punish you. He'll put you on the naughty list, maybe give you a lump of coal to light a fire under your ass, but he's not going to, you know, hurt you. The laws of karma are set up for you to slap your own face. You do harm to people. It's just gonna like float around and come back to you. That's the disciplinary wheel he set up, so you know not to do that. So like you could just stay harmless. If you just don't harm creation, everything goes your way. Harmlessness is probably the most intense and most difficult practice. I don't practice it. I try my best to, but I'm not like Jhwal Kool. I'm not a Buddha where I'm just gonna let that mosquito suck my blood. You know, like I'm slapping the shit out of it. Squat. You know. So I still have that kind of relationship. I won't forever, but harmlessness could take you just not fucking with people, not making them upset. You know, just that by itself, you know, is as good as just trying to cheer everybody up.
How are your, some of your conversations that you do have with, you know, maybe old Christian friends or, you know, when you have type of conversations?
Like I'm a fundamentalist ones here. And that's why I like being a multi-faith minister.
Go back and forth and just, you know.
It's not about an argument.
Right.
You know, it's because nothing of those religions can be substantiated with physical evidence. So it is always kind of an inner revelation. And a lot of people don't even know their history when it comes to like how the Bible was put together, how the Quran was created, how was it? But I could talk to a Christian, a Muslim, I think about aspects, mystical aspects of their path that are universal. And I just stick to that. To me, everything else is just dogma and rulemaking that human beings created for themselves. Jesus only had two commandments: love the source with all your heart and mind and soul and might, and love everybody else. He's like, basically, he's saying that's all you got to do. And if you, but no one does that. No one does that. They judge people. The other Christians judge people because they're afraid of hell. They're afraid God is going to punish them. Same with Muslims.
I think being afraid of hell is one of those things. But I think the Bible still is fascinating. There's still things I want to know.
There's a lot of gems in there.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of metaphysical juice in there, but people are getting caught.
Work in both arenas, I guess you would say. But
or they're misinterpreting. Like what it's saying. So when for example, like I have a fundamentalist Christian here that's talking about things, I'm talking Holy Spirit. That's why I'm a multi-faith minister. Is if you're Hindu, I can talk Ganesh with you. I could talk like all day. We could talk about Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva and the trilogy. Cause to me, they're all trilogies, you know, whether it's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit or Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, it's the same.
Well, do you think that you know, Christ would have wanted a religion from him? Do you think Buddha would even wanted a religion? You know,
they get
him?
That from the text, like upon like Peter, when he's like Peter, upon this, he will be the foundation stone of my church, which is basically like, I don't know if he envisioned like a whole religion coming off it. Cause it was just a reformation of Judaism. He's just basically trying to take Judaism and wed bhakti yoga to it. So you have the law, the 10 commandments, but we're adding the devotional piece of devotion and love of the source, not just trying to think about it and trying to follow his laws, but actually having a relationship.
Right.
As opposed to it's up there. I'm down here. It's superior. He's like, no, it's in your chest. You know? So there's, again, like even with the Christian religion, that's why there's as many religions as there are people, is they're going to get accessed the Christ. They're going to access their Buddha consciousness to different degrees due to the conclusions that they've come to about the information they've been given by other people, unless they do their own inner explanation. Because people that have become awakened, doesn't matter what religion they're from, you can look at them and be like, ah, you know stuff. You know there's a mystical aspect of Christianity. You know the law of attraction is real. You know what Jesus was really trying to say. You know what Buddha was leading people to. And they're not like mutually exclusive.
But I think that's the biggest difference as well. You know, just trying to find different things that you used to believe to how you believe now.
I just experiment. Yep. See if it has juice. See if I do the thing, something happens. If not, if I can't feel a sensation in me, if I can't feel my vibration go up, if I can't feel my emotions settle or become more, then I just go, fuck that tool. You know, and that might work for somebody else. So that's why there are as many people as there are this, you know, 112 methods of Shiva to enlighten you. That's what Sadhguru is always talking about. There's 118 like paths to enlightenment. He said Buddhism's just one, Christianity's just one, Taoism's just one, and they're different techniques that Shiva has given out. You know, so everybody's like, "Oh, our thing was the thing."
Yeah, I think I do have close people that are Christian. They're like, "Well, there's just one place. There's one road to salvation." You're like, "Well, I don't really want to get into that," but it's also like, well, you know, I guess my question was, how do you have those conversations?
Well, you could tell if those people are doing that because of fear. Or are they doing it because they've accessed something? Like if they were like Jesus is definitely the way, you know, like, and you're just like, man, I have him in my heart. I love him so much. And divine love's taught me so much. I'd listen to that person. If they go like, dude, it's only Christianity or you're going to fucking hell. Or it's like, it's Christianity. You're going to miss the thing. I'd be like, well, sorry, but there's been hundreds and thousands of realized saints and Buddhas that weren't Christian. So obviously that's not true.
Right.
And I'm like, no, but that was the devil. And I'm like, that's when you start making up stories in your head about like what you think divinity is doing, or like that, what its physics are, what its actual values are. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely not doing that under a range of limitation, you know, like where you're limited to just this path.
Yeah. And it's like, okay,
it's ridiculous.
Well,
Quasicodal's path is just as good.
You can't have that relationship without this being in front of it.
Zoroastrianism is just as valid as Christianity. And if you really read all the texts, you realize they're all saying the same shit.
Well, that is the correlation.
You'll realize
you're
it.
Like, oh, well, this is this, you know, just a different way of saying this. And we're all
different culture.
Yeah. Cause I would talk to my brother and he'd be like, that sounds very biblical. And it's like, well, it kind of is, right? Like, we're, it all kind of mirrors the same thing.
Yes.
We're all going towards
all
the same
thing.
All the texts
are sacred.
It's just that I have this nervousness about talking about where I'm at with everything. And it's not like I have to say, hey, this is my belief system, you know, and have that back and forth. But I'd like to share those things without having a conflict.
You have to become more obtuse about your details. Like when they're talking the Holy Spirit, you'd be like, yeah, I dig the Spirit. To me, the Spirit is the Divine Mother, which is, you know, and you just say to me, you know, to me, this is what it is. You don't have to say, this is what is what. That's what Christians do. That's what Buddha is like. No, this is what it is. I'd be like, you don't fucking know, you minuscule
creation.
Well,
I think that's what turns us off initially for churches.
It closes the door.
It's like, no, you know exactly what's going on, but I don't,
or else.
I don't believe you know that.
There's
no
religion or else.
Right.
It's like, if you do this or else, then just ignore that person. They're ignorant.
I think the first thing I would say is like, look, you don't have to fear anything. You don't have to be nervous. You
be
don't
pleasant
have to be
or
worried.
Else.
You know, you don't have to say, well, because as a Christian, you know, initially, if I don't do these things, this is the only shot I have, this one life here, and if I mess this up, you know, you
that's
have eternity.
There's no reincarnation. And then you read in the earlier text that reincarnation was taught for 1,000 years.
I think being
awake,
like, it was like the most relieving thing ever. Like, oh,
there's so many things that are like
that. I don't have to worry about like having to like and it's very monetary. It's just, again, maybe it's just more Western civilization as far as the things you're indoctrinated is, the different things that you're programmed with as far as what's important to you.
Right.
But being awakened, I would say it's just rejoice. It's, you know, wake up and rejoice because it's
all
good.
That to me is more Christian than reading text.
We're going
to
be okay.
Or worrying about someone or being like,
and you're not going to get anything done with a low vibe. You know, and having, you know, worry and stress and again, eliminating those type of things and raising your vibration.
Yeah.
I think if we could all just start there.
That's literally what I was just talking about at the beginning of the program.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where
our start
is.
At the beginning. You know? Become pleasant.
Yeah, because initially...
Only entertain pleasant thoughts.
Initially, you learn
so
many things.
That's more Christian than anything.
It's like, I would relate it to like never watching TV and someone being like, here's Netflix. You're like, where do I start? Where do I go? I don't even know what to do.
Yeah,
this is overwhelming.
Here's the internet.
And then
you start
to kind of piece everything together. This starts to make sense. This goes here. And then you're like, well, how do I live my life? How is this going to affect me every day? What are the things that I'm going to do to change?
Right.
And again, starting back, it's, you know, eliminating all those negative things, getting to that homeostasis, and then raising that vibration. And I think our last energy session, it was like, just send love towards everything.
That's
no matter
it.
What situation you have,
right now,
no matter what's going
that.
On. And I used to think growing up, like, oh, that's weakness. No, you can't have that kind of mentality. But knowing that, man, that's actually the right way to go about everything, it actually de-stresses it all. I don't have to worry about my ego. I don't have to worry about winning or losing. You send love at everything, and everything else will kind of just take care of itself. Don't worry about all this. The
winning.
The negatives.
What is winning?
Winning an argument. Getting better than, you know, getting over
you
somebody.
You never win an argument.
Right. Well, you feel
you just
like
basically,
you think you do.
They've accepted that your point might be more valid than their own.
Sure.
So,
and again, that
like,
goes back to ego.
Even then,
you know?
No one wins. You don't win by doing that. You would win an argument by not saying anything and just channeling love to that person. That is the only way to win an argument. And I've been in many arguments and I've, you know, it's like arm wrestling with your mind. And sometimes a lot of it is because someone's ego is challenging a perception that
you
have
ours,
or something. So you're like, I'm in the mood to slap an ego in its face and dominate it.
But calmness is a superpower, right?
But that exchange doesn't take you any further.
Right.
It'll take you down a little bit. Now, what did you say?
Calmness. Calmness is a power, superpower.
That's what Bruce Lee said, and he wasn't lying. I'm trying to enhance that because I have a lot of this.
But
like
I'm
energy.
Noticing now when I am calm in those situations, you do feel powerful. You're like, dude, this shit can't touch me.
It's all
particular. You're not touching my heart. You're not getting to me.
It's when
and
we
I used
engage
to let
that you have battle.
Get to me, I'd be like, oh fuck no, you're not gonna disrespect me. You're not gonna look at me this way. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna make sure you know you can't do it. It's just like.
We have very similar backgrounds.
And it's like, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no.
Dominate that cat.
Yeah, it's like, and I think that comes from, I'm not somebody that fucks with people, you know, but I feel like
I don't go out looking for it.
But if it's, you know, yeah.
But,
it's,
you know, I have an Italian background and stuff.
Very much an ego thing. Like,
it is an ego thing because you come at me because like that. What are you defending when they're coming at you? It's like you're defending their false idea of yourself.
Right. And then, and that's, you know.
And that's not, once you realize that that doesn't mean anything, then there's nothing to defend. And you just go, all right, man.
Well, we're so self-consumed that, you know.
Remember everyone that got burned in like
so
middle school?
So worried about what everybody thinks about us all the time. When it's just like, it dude, is. Everyone is so like
it's a top
worried
dog.
About with their own, yeah. You know, with their own issues.
For ladies, a lot of times
problems.
It's who's more beautiful than me.
No.
For guys, it's who can kick my ass or take my shit.
Pretty much.
So like, but that's the
or
most
is that
fundamental.
Guy better looking? Is he taller? Is he bigger? Does he look like he has more money? You know, and you right. automatically don't like those people, you know, which doesn't make any sense.
I told my wife know? This a little while ago. I was like, if you want to break down brass tacks, what like our two genders are, coming down to when guys go into a social situation, they scan a room, they're looking to think who can I whoop and who can whoop
exactly.
me.
Cause you do actually.
And ladies are
that.
Looking around for who's going to get more attention than yeah. me or who's hotter. And yeah. that's our, that if you can realize that's yeah. the base program
it
for
really
all
is.
Social interactions, right. then you can let go and realize the smallest man with a knife can take you out. You know, and the fattest chick can steal your man and fuck
I
him.
I think if
you
we
know?
All just realize that we're not that cool, we're not that good looking, and actually no one gives a shit
everyone's,
about how you
yeah.
look or how you're, it's like
the best
so
looking person's the one that doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like
gives
around
a
lot
fuck.
Of hot chicks and
yeah.
then you were just like,
like
oh, fuck oh, all of you,
got
I don't
a great
care.
Personality.
That's
like,
when
no,
they
he
tune
just
into
doesn't
you.
Doesn't give a shit.
When
you
don't care about those things, that makes you more attractive because you're not siding with your ego. You're not
well,
going
you're
from
not
that perception,
you know?
And you're coming from the soul.
Well, people want authenticity. I think that's
and
more
confidence.
Attractive than anything else. I think
and
that's
confidence.
What people are attracted to, you know, guys that are funny. Or...
If your confidence or your beauty is dependent on being compared to the people around you.
Right. Well, we've seen hot chicks that just, you know.
That's just it.
That's their whole identity, you know. And
yeah.
it goes for men,
and,
too.
And I mean, it depends on how much they're identifying with their aesthetic. Like
yeah.
some people, what they
the
look
time.
Like,
yeah, I was like, what
is
I look like,
everything.
How the body's looking, you know, like very, right. very important. And then now you're just like, well, if I can just, I'm not going to change overnight, right? But if I can just not give a crap.
Every day I wake
a
up now, man, it seems like a shorter amount of daylight. Like I'm like the next day and I'm looking, I'm like, fuck, I should have done like six more things. Because it feels like it just boom, boom. And now I'm like laying my
because
head.
Because it sounds like you're doing a lot of things you want to be doing. And
that does help.
And the time that you're spending and doing that is enjoyable rather than like, shit, I got to do this
it
for 8 hours.
By.
Then I got this, then I got
but
that.
But then you think about all the things you are working on and you're like, oh shit, man. Like I got to wake up earlier and maybe go to bed later because I feel like these days, like it's been a week and I was like, so every day I wake up, like you were saying, like I'm more hyper-focused every day I wake up now. Like even from like waking up when Sadhguru's like rub your hands together and put
he
them over your
so
eyes.
He has so many great like little things.
He's
like
wetting
the honey
whole
water,
process.
The honey water, like
what you eat, how you sleep, the direction your head is at when you sleep.
Right.
Like I'm talking, he's breaking down all.
Well, I'm
these
doing
variables.
A middle of the week 3 day like either like just fruit and vegetables or what have you,
sure,
or just
lighter.
A liquid diet. Yeah, and it makes you feel better. Makes you think. Yeah. I actually don't eat throughout the day. I actually fast. For almost 18 hours because my head is a lot clearer.
That's cool.
And it's almost like I feel like Western civilization, we're all driven towards consumption. They just want us to consume. And it's like when
and
you don't, you're like, I don't need
what you're consuming
all
is
this
toxic.
Meat and all,
that's the problem. Yeah. Like my grandfather ate good meat. He even smoked good tobacco. Like his tobacco didn't have 100 extra carcinogens in it.
Sure.
His meat, he ate bacon that didn't have hormones in it and fucking all kinds
there's
of
just
shit.
Nothing but temptation and poison around you.
Pretty much.
Must not
pretty
get
much,
it. And, oh,
man.
By the way, you don't get to know anything. You got to figure it all out by yourself.
Yeah.
You
if
know?
You're lucky. I
in
mean,
this
if you're
lifetime,
fortunate,
you know?
If you're lucky, a guru comes along or a few teachers. Like I wish I was qualified enough to be on the level of a guru. Like I could see one day, like I'm going to try to reach those thresholds.
Mm-hmm.
But I know better than to try to lead people when I'm not on that level of integrity of like Rupert Spira, because you're wedding yourself also to the karma of your student a lot of times. So if you're not in pristine, you're not gonna be able to handle what's going on with them. And they say that a lot. Like a lot of gurus say, like I'm taking on the karma of my student and trying to help them with it, and they'll suffer some of that shit for them a lot of times.
Wow.
So I want to be able to. You know, being the highest level of integrity before like leading someone astray, because now if I lead someone astray, even accidentally,
right, you're tied to that.
I'm tied to their mm-hmm. misstep, and that misstep affects my tapestry and like what I'm trying to do. So I realized that really early on when I was looking at other gurus and like looking at masters, that there's all these little caveats between the chela and the master that are important. That you wouldn't, I like to know about those things in advance.
Sure.
You know, so I'm like, look out for the potholes.
I think for me in my time where I'm at with everything, Sadhguru mm-hmm. is perfect, right?
He's perfect.
Inner engineering is perfect. You want to know how to reconstruct your life and yeah. just live a happier life, yeah. just to start
a great life.
You don't have to have any spiritual, no aspirations
at
all.
It's a science.
Yes, it is. It's a science to your life and how you should go yep. about living your life. And
It's how to wed the concept of making every facet of your life
enjoyable,
pleasant.
Yeah, we should
versus unpleasant.
You don't have to grind your ass off every single day just to maybe get some satisfaction. Hopefully later on,
unless you love the grind, unless that's your jam. There's some people that can wake up like Sadhguru's up 20 hours a day.
Well,
right.
I think about that too. Like, you really don't need
if you love that shit.
4 or 5 meals a day. You don't need
it. Won't deplete
8 hours
you.
Of sleep.
If you're a stockbroker and your favorite thing is playing the stockbroker game, you could do it 18 hours a day and it won't be unpleasant.
Well,
if you're doing it because you have to,
right?
That's when it becomes suffering.
But I was going to ask you this. So you said you were out for 4 days from a Kriya Yoga move.
Oh yeah.
I was like, so in this podcast,
just getting that last little bit, and that's in the front of the chest and the flint, you know, just scraping that last little bit off the walls.
And he does talk about Kriya Yoga can bring you, you know, 1,000 years, you know, as far as your spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do Yogananda. Practices like of Kriya Yoga, or is that something that you're deep into?
I was trying to I was blowing the dust off of that manual.
Okay.
Like where I was called back to doing it.
Because I'll learn
you'll
about
do different things
like,
in different phases.
I wonder how Josh went about this, you know?
I've been doing the 5 rites consistently.
Me too. 5 rites are great.
And all of a sudden, I just got the impulse like, hey, it's time to start, you know, bringing even more information, even cleansing the body even
because
deeper.
Because he talks about it, what it's an antenna as far as just
yeah,
everything.
Your
is,
brain is.
Everything is what? Geared towards getting closer to source, right? And so that's
everything.
That's our meditation.
All
our
your
meditations.
Problems, all your conflicts, all your relationships right. is just to provoke you to go within and talk to spirit.
Yeah.
All
and so that chant that I do every day, it's just over time, you're just... It does change you, you know? It just makes you...
You use different keys for... Different locks present themselves at different times and cycles. Like, everything cycles. So you'll have an old test and maybe didn't fail. You failed when you were 17 or when you were 30. And now, boom, something similar to that is up and you're like 41.
Now. Yeah.
Now, you know, you have a tool that you didn't have before. And you don't have to use a universal tool. You could be like, oh, this tool, this key will work with this particular lock.
I don't have to
lock.
Guess anymore. You know, there's at least some type of reference on how it should go about, you know, whatever type of situation. Again, and this is at the very
it's
basic
like cooking.
Level.
Like cooking by intuition. Yeah. Now you're like, because your palate has been expanded, you'd be like, oh, I know tarragon's going to go with that.
Just like you talked about before, but building the fundamentals as far as mm-hmm. how am I dealing with everyday life rather than
yep.
thinking of spirituality
way
as
more
this
important.
Lightning rod that's going to like
way
just
more
change
important
me and be different.
To become as good a person as you can
yeah,
become and become invincible.
Yeah.
To all discord and evil.
And learning to love in
it's
all situations. And just being like, hey,
every day will test you on that.
Oh, for sure.
Every day will test you on that. But that's the most important of the tests. It's more important than acquiring spiritual
here, yeah.
power or knowledge is anchoring in your heart and letting that teach the brain and the mind how it should think.
And then
if you can
somehow,
do that, that's all you got to do.
Well, and the
that's
weird thing
it.
Is,
your soul will speak
especially
to
from first starting to now, even uh-huh. it hasn't even been, what, six, eight months or something like that, there's a wisdom that comes with it. I would never call myself wise, but I am wiser than I was. And there's
you'll
just,
know.
There's a knowing that happens. There's a calmness that happens. There's an interior peace that happens with it that just wasn't on the daily for me before.
If you're quiet enough, the wisdom of God, it's not like something you acquire. It's already present.
Right.
It's just the quietude is what allows the radio station to come through and the answer just naturally starts coming to you. The perfect words start coming to you.
A lot of the time
say
it out loud.
You'd be like, where does it come from?
Right.
That's when you're in tune with wisdom and not knowledge. Knowledge is just the practical application of wisdom. But like if you're talking to someone trying to convey a truth, like if people go, wow, he's really wise. That's because you're out of the way enough that flame of wisdom will speak out of your mouth, and it won't be like you're pulling the words
it
from your
feels
mind.
Like the right
it just
thing to
comes
say at the right
yes,
time.
Yes, that's it. That's when you know you're in the pocket.
Right.
It's almost like you're in the flow state in the octagon.
And you can kind of feel when ego's not around there, kind of filtering through all that kind
It'll
of stuff.
It'll be glorious.
You're like, boom, you're just flowing.
It'll be quiet and glorious.
It's a very good flow.
You don't feel this like, meow, meow, come up.
Right. Yeah, because it's just like chatter, chatter, chatter. And it's like static, static, static. And then,
it'll just sit.
Yeah. It's just everything's good. Everything's
and
chill.
And you almost, it'll sound like profundity is coming through you, but like where you'd be like, do I sound fake
because
talking to myself? I sound like
a
Native American
as
master.
Well that comes with it.
If you watch Native American, I've been watching this week a lot of like Navajo, like masters, like talking about either their metaphysical path or their astrology. And when they talk,
you listen, because
their pace and the way that they express thought as it's manifesting in their mind,
right,
to be expressed. This is what, that's what I'm talking about. Like the whole flow state of the mind drops into a different gear, and like their culture has a totally different pace of thinking because the profundity of what they're focusing on is doesn't have all of that chatter with it. So that's why it sounds like a lot of wisdom's coming out.
Right.
So
because
like,
you've just eliminated the chatter, really, and you've kind of got to that homeostasis. So
they're
now
only
it's just
speaking about what is or what's relevant.
Right.
Amazing.
So right now, it's just continuously raising that vibration, you know, and just
I get insights from all of them.
Sitting with that unconditional love feeling, you know, I know we all have family that we feel like, oh, I have unconditional love for that person, and just how would I relate that to every single thing, everybody? You know, Sadhguru says
with energy and not words. You just beam it out and they just will want to sit next to you. Oh, you feel nice today. Well, I'm feeling nice. And they can just sit next to you like a, you know, like a creature lying in the sun.
Yeah.
You just have to be the sun for that reaction to happen. It's when we're mind, when we're ego, that people have that push-pull, sticky relationship of communication or presence.
It's this comparison game that for whatever reason
you can take yourself out of it whenever you want. That's the beauty of it.
You can. You actually can.
You have to learn.
Oh, this is a complete waste of time.
How to stay in the state of connectivity to spirit and yet communicate information to the people and places and things around you. That is the fulcrum of the heart. That's where the triangle pointing downward, the energies coming from spirit are in complete perfect balance with the energies of the upper triangle. And that Star of David, that perfect balance. And you can only find that in the heart. We try to manufacture it with our mind.
Or different things around.
I'm going to still my mind so that that can happen. No, you just drop into the heart.
Right.
And you're just there. And you just wait. And we just
but
wait
when
for the words.
But you say drop into the heart, I think it's hard for people because when I was initially reading those type of, you know, matrix
concepts,
I couldn't feel that heart chakra. I couldn't really pinpoint it initially.
It's because you're trying to do it from up here. Yeah. So you have to imagine actually taking your sense of awareness and imagining you have your eyes.
I was going to say, like, how would
your
you?
Your eyes
how would
you in the front of your heart, visually. You know, like Beetlejuice, you know, when it goes.
And
the eyeballs roll back down into the head and pop out of her mouth. Instead, you let the eyeballs keep sliding down your throat and you let your eyes rest here. So, like, I'm like, even though you're seeing two physical eyes staring at you above, like my attention is on these eyes that are staring at you right now.
I can feel it.
Now from there, you could feel the shift in that energy. Now as they come back up into my head, it feels different. And then you go.
So really just shifting focus as far as where we're putting our attention to and just feeling the sensation.
Control of attention
that.
Is what Charles Sennell and like the Master Key System, you should definitely read, is where it talks about like, it's control of attention is all metaphysical paths.
Well, I think
it's
takes
the key
practice.
To all of it.
I'm starting to
He says
to feel,
that too. It's a muscle. It's a muscle you have to do over and over again.
Now I can feel those energy centers and especially
imagination,
if they're dense, you know?
Imagination is an important muscle.
Right.
Attention control is a very important muscle. Being able to still your emotions, no matter what the stimuli is, and being able to go back into calm, no matter what the environmental interior or exterior experience is happening, to be able to be calm and still, even as like the mosh pit of reality is happening around you. That's what I practice with Twitter.
Like the eye of the storm.
Controlling those things is the most important. We have almost no cultural training on how to control emotions. They're like, yeah, let your emotions out. Hit
the
pillow.
That's
the
most annoying
part. It's terrible.
Learning this, you're like, why are we just reckless?
They told me to punch the pillow.
Things.
They told me to scream and get it out. No, you just made it worse. And you just created more something that matches that vibration. Like I was pissed when I found that out, but then I was so happy, so fucking happy to find out that my thinking is what's doing it. Because guess what? You can change that. That's not fixed. You're not destined to do anything.
And I think that you need, like, hey, start thinking differently for 3 months, then see how your life does change.
Yeah.
You know?
Just gratitude is the easiest one.
And go gravitate towards that.
Even if it's hard for you to imagine, if it's hard for you to control anything, if you, and that's why I love this technique. Jesus talked about it all the time. So did Buddha. Being grateful is the easiest spiritual technique to get the biggest results.
Thank you.
That you could possibly hope for. It's the easiest way. If you don't know how to love God or love other people because you haven't felt a lot of love in your life, you at least know how to become grateful for some shit. Hey, I got a Snickers bar when I needed it. I got a break from the law when I needed it.
You've broken that down on this podcast before. I'm glad I have running water.
Gratitude.
Like a roof over my head. Like
you see how easy it is? There's 100 things you could look at that people around the world don't have. Yeah, you just stare around the room. I'm grateful for these plants. I'm grateful I got... You know, I got a functioning brain. Yeah. I didn't wake up in a prison or an insane asylum today or a hospital. God forbid they're all the same thing to me. So all three of those are synonymous. So like just starting there and be like, woo, you'll end up building a standing wave. And if you're like, I don't believe in a God, fine. Whatever you're grateful to that you think is spirit or is, even if you don't think it's a spirit, you just be grateful that it happened abstractly. You will in an automatic, you will train your mind to be pleasant, and therefore it will focus on more and more pleasant thoughts, almost like a habit. Almost, it'll get addicted to positive thinking because you'll notice I get better and better and better results. It's like an objective, observable, scientific thing.
It's just also more enjoyable to spend your time doing those types of things. When
you won't know until you try. If you've been in miserable mode for a long time, you won't know that gratitude is shit. You won't know that love is shit. You'd be like, life is shit, and that's all I know is stinky shit. Stinky shit and piss. They won't know, be like, the smell of roses.
So what is the first step for that person, day one, right now, listening to
this? I'm so glad I'm alive.
Yep.
I'm alive. I have fingers. Not everybody has fingers. I can grip things. There's people that are missing their limbs. So just for them, walk around. Just for them, get some exercise. Be like, I have a fully functional brain. Not everyone has that. I can see and hear. Those are huge blessings. Huge. And if you can see visually... That means you can picture internally. Mm-hmm. The power to do either of those is God's, and this is from deep, deep, deep occult shit, that's God's power of creation within you. Your ability to picture things, to seek what the next experience will be, that is that power acting within your brain.
The imagination?
Yes, you can be grateful for that. Not every creature can manifest a red bike.
Right.
You can. You can manifest the lover of your dreams or the lover of your nightmares. You can the job of your dreams,
the
dreams
of
your
nightmares. With imagination here,
on this particular level,
right?
On this in reference to like what we're doing. Yeah, not only that, we're the only ones that could speak the word. Mm. Oh,
isn't it
Yeah, I mean this is more the third eye. Aum is the crown chakra.
Gotcha.
But you can say om, om, om all day, and it will still like open a pituitary gland. That's the technique Krishna gave the world. Right. Is the intonation of om. It's like, just if you don't want to believe any of this shit, just om all the time, and you'll achieve enlightenment.
Well, I think the Bhagavad Gita is beautiful, really right? Interesting.
Beautiful.
And Shiva, and I was like, oh, cool. That's the next Krishna. Thing to learn. Krishna, excuse me.
Krishna.
Would
is
I say
it.
Shiva?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shiva is the third aspect.
Gotcha.
Krishna is a manifestation of the divine sun or Vishnu.
And I pretend to know, you know, as much, but it's
but
becoming
what
more
I'm
familiar.
Saying is that's his major, like there's a major gift that every one of the avatars gave. Jesus's was gratitude and forgiveness.
Okay.
And scientific use of the word I am. Buddha's was the eightfold path and knowing how to manage your mental energies.
Okay.
Krishna's was the Om, the Aum. As a pathway to absolute divinity. In my path, they say to say I am instead of Aum because of that's just the instruction I got when I got it and it explained why. Why not Om Mani Padme Hum, which is the Buddhist way of saying I am and keying into those energies. Aum for Hindus, Om Mani Padme Hum for Buddha, that'd be their chant. And so like each one of these religions, they give you a huge major key that can give you the developmental nudge to go to the next level, to become a saint, to become a monk, to become a yogi, which means you're now one with creation. So like you could try all these keys. They all work, but one will work for you better than others because you're a type of personality, your type of your background. And you could just be grateful that you're not stuck with a destiny. There's not three old ladies with the big snipping scissors that I'm going to cut your fucking, you know, you have an end date, that's for sure. But what you do between those, between the creation of your life thread and the snipping of it, that's up to you. You can make out your own destiny. And that's, I was so relieved to find, that was like the major revelation I had. I was like, oh, I'm doing it.
Right. So,
I can undo it.
Just starting to change the way your mind is thinking.
You have to. If you want different results.
On. Right.
If you like the results you have, keep thinking the shit you've been thinking. Otherwise, you're going to need new mindsets. That's why I call it a mindset.
Right.
You're going to need a set that isn't already that you have.
If you're worried about what you don't have or you're upset or, you know, it's all that's going to come back.
Yeah. And if you don't pass that test, like it's the stimuli, like spirit's going to test you through people, places, and things.
Right.
Over and over again for you to be able to have the correct reaction or a response to it so it doesn't come back against you. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to test these keys. And once you're like, hey, I got this key. Oh, a lot of your stuff starts coming up.
Sure. It's like that domino because it's like, effect,
great,
right?
Here, use it on this.
That one aspect can just change so many different
can invite a lot,
negative
man.
Things that you're feeling on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's nothing works unless you use it. You know, I could have filled my mind with hundreds of books, but my life is awesome. I'm married to the greatest woman. I love my career. I love my expression and the way I'm evolving, and bad stuff doesn't happen to me because I've yoked myself to spirit. My reality, my waking life is about paying attention to that world, which isn't a world. It's the fabric of all reality. So once you're like there, everything works out your way. Two major degrees. If there's still some stuck stuff, it'll still come up. Your limitations will come up for clearing.
Mm.
It's not because you're doing anything wrong. It'd be because there's some lingering thing in your consciousness.
Challenge that you have to find a way to.
Yeah. I'm not done growing. And like that, as soon as you're done growing, you're done. You've started dying, you know? So even the great masters, like we said, they're 1 inch up a 10-inch ruler. They don't stop growing. That's just planetary consciousness. The next game is solar consciousness. And the game after that is galactic consciousness. And then we get universal and then multi. The game, God created a huge fucking game for us. But that's, I've had a long time to, put some bacon on that burger.
And so you know all of where you're at. As far as where I'm going,
decently.
I guess my question always in these podcasts are, okay, and I know it's not a black and white, but you know, what are those next steps? Because I have looked into Kriya Yoga, and I know Shambhala Reiki. This is just the start for today.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Kriya Yoga is not Kriya. When they say Kriya Yoga, it's not yoga really. It's more of a meditation and yoga, right?
It's a yoga, but like
it's
in
body
the,
movement
in more
and
like
meditation,
the,
right?
Or like not the Americanized version.
But
of
what
yoga.
I'm thinking about is also part of Kriya Yoga. Why does Sadhguru
there are thinking
focus
aspects
so much on Kriya Yoga for that?
He's just talking
says
about
it's more effective.
He focuses on like his Hatha Yoga
are
the 36 postures of that Babaji
melted
down. So I
think he does Hatha
down.
And then they do Kriya.
Everything he does is technically a yoga. Gotcha. Okay, a yoga or a technique.
That's where I had the mistake, right?
Because sadhana is a technique.
Meditation is a part of that yogic, a part of yoga.
That's just one branch.
Right?
Like what you're studying at Self-Realization Fellowship or looking into, that's just one tiny aspect. You're not even into the mantra stuff yet.
Right.
They got multiple different practices for mind, emotion, spirit.
So what was attractive about that is that, okay, this is a and I don't, stop me when I'm wrong, but this is a spiritual discipline that you can kind of enhance your spirituality, I guess.
I don't think I miss what you're thinking of.
I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. Because I am a... like all the time, right? So anyway.
Well, because we talk about Mahatma energy as far as getting...
That's so next level,
right,
man.
But Kriya Yoga is something that we can do here that will...
Again,
accentuate our spiritual path by leaps and bounds.
It
correct?
Is
from
a
what?
Very specific spiritual path. That's
from
why
what?
I hesitated to get into it, dude.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because
Sadhguru talks
like
about that
I,
all the time. Like,
here's a great example.
Like,
I went to Sadhguru's inner engineering course, right? And he's there.
The inner engineering course?
Yeah. And he's right there on the stage. Like I'm here. He was there presently doing that inner engineering course. Yeah. The Sadhguru.
No kidding.
I was in
How
Long
was
Beach.
That?
There was 3,000, 4,000 people in a
How
huge auditorium. Oh, he's very powerful. Don't get me wrong. And I'm there, right? And I did the inner engineering online course. I did like all the lessons. I'm like, cool. And I didn't know until I thought he was just going to give a dictation or something like that. He's like, I'm going to be initiating you in the Shambhavi Kriya Mahamudra. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I'm looking over at Abby.
You got attuned by and so Sadhguru? He's
yeah. Okay. Let me finish the story. I know you look super excited, but this is going to go the opposite way you think.
I will let you talk.
This will go the opposite way that you think it's going to go. So I'm in there and he's mentioning, I put a seed within you. All of you, I don't know if all of you are going to do the Mahamudra, but the seed is going to be inside of you. It will bloom if you do this technique that takes 24 minutes. You got to do it like 5 a.m. with nothing in your belly. And I said, oh, and I saw myself doing it.
I've been doing stuff like
that. And then I inquired to the masters that I study with, and they were like, well, this is going to take you into the Eastern route. If you follow Sadhguru's stuff and like Babaji and that kind of stuff, it's going to take you more into the enlightenment realms. And I said, well, my emphasis and focus in this lifetime is ascension, is basically going to light body, which is also an impossible thing, according to like Sadhguru's thing, right? Let me get through it.
Yeah.
So he's talking about in his system, the highest thing you could do is Mahasamadhi, which is what he attained and kept his body. He said 99% of people that gain Mahasamadhi leave their body and they're like dead, like his wife did. His wife left her body in the middle of a session and he taught her how to do it. And she left. There's so much ecstasy. You leave the body. Right. And then you don't have to come back. That's the highest goal of yoga. My highest goal is to be with the ascended masters and get in those initiation steps and to go to light, physical light, not leave my body here, but to take my body and turn it into light. So I asked the masters, like, will this lead me away from the possibility of me going in this direction with my spiritual? They said, yes, you can go down this route and you're going to experience unfucking believable shit. But it interfered with my ultimate goal that I was exposed to for this life. So because I knew matrix energetics, and only because I knew matrix energetics, I went in and I found that seed in me and Abby and I removed it. Because I didn't want that seed in there, because I didn't want anything to interfere with my spiritual goal. So I took he was giving me a gift I didn't want.
Wow.
I'm going to attune you to sin. I didn't come here for an attunement. You know, he's like, no, well, it's getting attuned. Now I have put a seed in there. And I'm like, no. So I dug that seed back out because I have the ability and knowledge on how to do so.
Wow. When was this?
4 years ago, 3 years ago. It was before COVID. It was before COVID and it was in Long Beach. I would highly recommend if you're down with Sadhguru and you want to go on his path, dude, it was fucking awesome. His fucking people are the best students of anyone I've ever seen, of any master, the most well-oiled machine of volunteers. It was like an absolutely perfect seminar, glowing, beautiful, happy people, but he's not my guru. If he was my guru, I would have done that and then some, and I'd already be in the 9th class right now, rocketing forward in his path. But I realized, oh, Sadhguru, though I could become enlightened and do these other things, it's going to take me away from the path that I've been projected on. So there was a choice point. And I realized I'm taking that out. And I use matrix to check, like, did I get that thing out? Okay, yeah, I did. And that might sound absurd to him because he said, no, I planted it in there and it's going to either bloom when you start doing the thing or not. But the seed will be in there. I said, no, it's not. So I took it back out because I have enough power and knowledge on how to do so.
Well, it sounds like as well, so, that you were on, you know, what year?
Spirit was just like, hey, and I could have gone down that road, the divine mother, as opposed to I'm on the path of the divine father right now.
Or to at least know enough to be able to make that choice.
Now, does that mean I won't go learn his yoga-like class or his Angamardana? That won't interfere with that. So I've methods of using, you can use pendulums, you can use windows. There's methods of communicating where you realize, can I learn this without interfering with this? And
windows.
It'll go, yes.
So you
can
only
I
use,
do this
you only
or
use
do
the
this?
Matrix energetics windows, right? Because
mostly,
I know you've talked
but
about
I've had
other.
To refine that in a lot of ways because it wasn't a perfect technology when I was using it. Gotcha. So like, it's just, if I didn't do that, I would use a pendulum and get the exact same information.
Well, for a second there,
exact
I thought you were going to teach your students windows.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. That's Dr. Bartlett's privilege when he wants to teach it again, which I hope he's going to do this December. So
Windows
badly.
Is what, how,
that's just a way of interacting with energy, right?
Checking.
So
right?
I don't want to get too far from this. So so I went to his program. It was fantastic. Best products you could ever wish for. we even got the package where we got a free book and we got like fed for, so we paid for the higher experience and you're like up front closer. Mm-hmm. And it came with a chair. It came with like a chair you could take home with you. Like, it's so sick, dude. So like there was, it was awesome seminar, but Sadhguru's not a guru. So I had to, I realized something was wrong when I was learning the process. And I was like, why do I feel wrong about this? You know, I should be like, yeah, and I'm going to do this at home, sure. And this is going to expand. And it will work if that's your thing. Dude, Mahamudra will fucking change your life in 1 year or less, easily. Like that particular thing. But I realized I want to study certain things with Sadhguru. I don't want to be initiated in something that's going to prevent me from succeeding in other areas that I want to go in my life spiritually in the future. And so we're a rare case. But yeah, we went to the thing and his seminars are the shit. And I don't talk too much about Matrix stuff because my process is, even if I was talking to another person that went to the seminar, how I do it and how it's set up in my reality is totally different than like with Dr. Barley. And I know other little facets and caveats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get too much into that.
Well, I think it's interesting that you're at that point where you're like, hey, I want to go.
I can cook.
I want to go down this spiritual path and maybe this one isn't. You know,
I could tell when it was like that junction happened, like people don't realize and like, oh, now I veered off into this path for 6 years. And I didn't realize that same. I can't get back to this path if I went down this road.
Right.
So I was asking, I have inquiry processes. That's why if I didn't have Matrix, I would have pendulums.
Right.
I would do muscle testing, whatever it took to be able to get yes or no. Yes, I should. No, I shouldn't. And then retest that dozens of times to make sure it's the correct answer.
Yeah, I didn't even know that
you have to do a lot of investigation. It's like being a detective.
You know, all those type of spiritual paths as well. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's
all
oh,
that.
Well, that's another choice. I don't
know. It's a whole thing. And you got to know when you are making a choice, like that fulcrum. You know, like you'll feel the potential of the energy of like, oh, shit, if I go left or it's going to be right, it's going to change my life in one way or the other. So.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not at that point yet as far as. Like,
no, you're going to come to it multiple times. Yeah. Okay. It oscillates back and then you go back out. Now it's a plateau phase and then it comes back in and now there's a choice point. Now there's like, oh, do I go forward with this? Do I pull back from that? Do I emphasize this? Is this going to block me from going further over here? So it's like doing business, but it's like your spiritual energies. And you realize like, oh, I got to allocate resources over here. No, that'll divert me if I go over here.
And then it sounds like when you had that situation in front of you, you were able to make, you know, a conscious choice.
I was lucky to know it was because I had to let my wife know like, hey, do you get this too? And she's like, oh shit. Yeah. Mm. Now that I can, she's testing now using her information. She's like, yeah. Mm. So it's great to be in a couple with somebody.
Sure. Yeah.
On these things. You go, hey, what'd you get?
Am I feeling right? Yeah. Okay.
What answer did you get? Because I'm getting this.
Stop right there.
Bro. Like, Mary, a spiritual person.
So you guys are just high-fiving all the time. Like.
All the time to get the right answer. Because I'm very acutely, not obsessed, but like I'm very a stickler about getting accurate information. How right. can you make a good decision if your information's not accurate?
Well, a lot of spiritual people are just like, anything that comes
anything
through,
that flies in there. And like, I tell people, don't like, trust your brain, dude.
How do you even filter all that?
You'll know when it's correct information, but sometimes the ego will be like, hey, here you go. And it'll be self-aggrandizing. You go, yeah, that's great.
Exactly.
And you got to watch when that little fucker's trying to like race up and be like, no, that's you. That's not coming from Sananda. That's not coming from Saint Germain. That's not coming from my higher self.
Yeah, and that happens a lot.
It's
actually
important.
Initial first start.
So,
you know?
So important, dude. Because I know a lot of people that are like, dude, I diverted for 20 years this direction, and I was like, I wasted all that time. I should have been this. You know, so
do you think that's like a spiritual ego kind of thing?
It's not. It's just temptation, curiosity.
Curiosity
and temptation is a big
curiosity
diversion.
Like, man, I want to learn everything. I want to learn all these different techniques.
It's not just about that. It's the curiosity of like getting into things you shouldn't get into, you know, like that it might be harmful if you used a little wisdom to like look into it. Like people are like, I'm going to go down south and eat peyote buttons and do ayahuasca.
And I was
told that this and it worked for my friend and shit. And I'd be like, you're not wise enough to know if your friend's fucked up 5 years from now or if that invited an entity in or blah, blah, blah. There's like the more you do this, the more cautious you become because, you know, there's more variables to it than what people are talking about.
Then the next question that pops in my head is, sure. Okay, well, how do I differentiate that? Well, what world do I live in? Do I want to make sure that I'm not going down those.
Just got to be careful. You got to be able. That's why I said,
get
a pendulum if you need to get yes or no answers.
Right. Okay.
Is this good for me? Am I compatible with this? No. Will this fuck me up? Yes. And then you go, I can trust that. as opposed to, but I still want to go down there and do drugs.
Yeah.
I'm saying, dude, people come to my office all the time that are fucked up from spiritual practices that they shouldn't have been messing around with. And they'd be like, no, that isn't why. And I can't be like, you know, just like if I had a Christian, I'd be like, yeah, that is why, you know, no, it's not the process or my fucked up teacher or the substance I did. It was, is some other thing.
Mm-mm. So it's the same trappings, really. It's just a different.
You just, your ego just becomes more sophisticated,
right? That's what I'm saying. Like
it becomes
like,
spiritualized. Yeah, as Sri and Kira taught
me. Spiritual? Aren't we cool? Are
to
we
save
are we
itself,
powerful?
It goes, "Hey, I'm spiritual now," so it can still subtly send
you
down the wrong corridors or distract you from what will actually cause its self destruction.
Well, those are good things to look out for.
So big, dude. I just want to say thank you so much. I don't know, like, dude, I could probably have this conversation for 3 hours. If you stuck with us this long, folks, you really are in the drums and you're trying to run through. We've done an hour and 40.
Okay. That's what it was last time.
It's like the sweet spot, you know, because.
Well, I want to say thank you to you because I feel like, especially being a spiritual teacher, people are always asking you for things, you know, and it's like, can you help me? Can you help me?
If I can, yes.
But thank you for all that you do and kind of being there and having me here and the time, effort, and energy and all the love you give. Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you coming by and being so open, and now you're going to carry on a very sizable placeholder on this planet.
So it
frees me up to be able to do.
Sure.
If something happens to me, I know that you and Jason and Leslie
that's
are
such
out
an
here
awesome, like, sentiment
to hold
as
it down.
Well. That's awesome. I love that.
And that's what it's all about. Eventually, like, you know, many years from now, the people. Like,
well,
you're going
to
run into youngsters.
Love to hear from you on this podcast. I know this is a great way for us to listen and for you
thanks,
to kind of,
man.
You know, give lessons and teach us and stuff like that. And
you're the only one that has time to listen to it. I think the other ones have kids and like do a lot of shit. They pop in
we
when
all
they
have
can.
Time. Okay.
They pop in.
It's about priorities.
They're
too,
like,
you know?
How do I get an hour and a half to like listen to people? I already know what my sensei is going to gab about, right? And talk a bunch of shit. So
while you're driving in your car, while you're doing your dishes, while you're doing the whatever,
man.
you put podcasts on and
thank you, man. You know, I appreciate you listening and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you,
Wizards. Go out there and try to take that mountain of information that we just went over and make something useful out of it. You know, visualize something you want.
Yeah.
Come.
Newly awakened,
you know,
part two.
Make it happen.
You know, it's a wrap.
Let it explode out into the universe, then wipe up the rest after you're done.
Well, I do think a lot of people will be in the same situation and same scenario, and I think that's why we go into where we're at right now.
Dude.
So the first one was where we were then, second one, and then, you know, third one, whatever. You know,
it's going to keep going.
Place marker, so it'll be, you know, it's like a.
I'm sure people are going to enjoy listening to these and like listening and hearing your own revelations and insights because you're. At the you got beginner's mind, but now you got like a fuck
starting
ton of tools,
and you've
used a lot of them to great effect. So I would just say, please keep doing that.
Oh yeah, well now I have new Shambhala Reiki to practice and have fun with now, and have my experiences to tell you about it the next time I'm here. So,
oh man, well I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks
also, folks
me,
that are listening. If you want to listen to read a crazy book, I know everyone that's listening to this probably has already bought the damn book, but I wrote a book. It's called Profanity, How I Went from an Atheist to a Quantum Wizard in Less Than a Decade. And also, again, if you have any pains, aches, any of your family members are suffering, I'm at your service. I'm here in San Diego, or I can work on people at a distance.
Yeah, energy healing too, you know.
Works
anxiety.
At a distance. Dallas, you got sessions over the phone.
Oh, yeah.
What was you get any effect from that?
Well, I think everyone, you know, like me.
Do you feel it?
Oh, all the time. And
okay, just making sure.
You need energy healing for things that, there's a lot of things that I can't see. And a lot
me
of
too,
things
man.
That are, you know, affecting me that that do help with that. So to me, I see you at least once a month.
Love seeing you in person, though. It's cool to do the distance sessions. I'm telling you, this stuff works even over FaceTime.
Yeah, but being here in person is, you know.
It rocks.
It does.
It rocks to be able
the
to
feeling,
see you in person.
Just the feeling.
Because you never know if you can get squeezed off a podcast or something like that, too, when you're here.
And we did.
So thank you all very much. Peace and aloha. Love you all. Bye.